Ball Was Out podcast presented by Phil from Tweener Head Tennis. This is a podcast where we go behind the scenes of everything tennis to give you a more in-depth look of what's going on in the tennis world. Today we have one of the founders of the string company Torline that's making waves in the tennis technology world and how they do business. Now, we are very excited to have Eric on to join the channel. They currently are doing things that I think a lot of companies should be doing as well, collaborating with elite players like former top 25 Steve Johnson and tennis experts and content creator Jonas Eriksson from the Tennis Nerd YouTube channel and podcast. Now, I was very excited to have Eric on to talk all things tennis and kind of nerding out over string technology. But before you guys enjoy this podcast, make sure you are following us on all podcast platforms. Make sure you're subscribed to the Tweenerhead Tennis YouTube channel. All of those are in the podcast description below. And without further ado, enjoy our conversation with Eric, one of the founders of the string company Torline. Ladies and gentlemen, I would like to thank Eric for joining us today. It's not every day you get to talk to a founder and a creator of a tennis string brand, and Torline is probably one of the fastest growing tennis string brands out there. And we're very excited to have Eric on to talk about the origin story of what this brand has to offer to the tennis world. So Eric, thank you so much for joining us today.
Yeah, no, thanks for having me, Phil. And by the way, great content coverage of the NCAAs. I was following all your videos, and it's really cool to see just like how much yeah, I think social media has like kind of impacted the growth of NCAAs and where it's, you know, where it is today versus when I played at UC Santa Barbara. It's like, I think there's probably like three pictures of me playing tennis in college. Now it's like, you know, it's cool to follow the players and yeah, great stuff covering the tournament.
Thank you so much. I really do appreciate that. And it's all about creating an environment where we get to learn about these players and kind of see the behind the scenes of what it takes to become a D1 athlete or to become a D3, D2 athlete in the tennis world and kind of giving a platform to these kids and not just that, but to tennis overall. So let's start with you. You played at UC Santa Barbara. You're now a founder of a tennis string brand. How did we get to this moment for you?
Yeah. So just going back to the origins of Torline, I grew up playing tennis, you know, since I was 5 or 6 years old. Started stringing rackets probably when I was like 14. I've probably tried way too many rackets and strings in my life. I probably should have just stuck to like, you know, a couple of rackets, but I'm a tennis star at heart, so I love experimenting. I love playing around with, you know, different rackets, different setups, you know, just like over analyzing everything like any other tennis nerd. You know, the balls that we use, the court conditions, the, you know, different humidity, like there's so many like factors I think that go into you know, finding the perfect setup at any given place or any given tournament when you're competing out there. And back in around like 2015, 2016, one of my best friends, Jason Jung, who was, you know, inside the top 200 at that time, I was helping him customize his rackets. So, you know, adding lead tape, experimenting with like silicone in the handle. You know, with any given racket, if you have like 5 or 6 of them, yeah, like any other player, not just like a tennis player, there's going to be like one or two that you really like, right? Because the specs wise, the QC is just not great unless you have like pro stock rackets, which a lot of pro players do get. And they're made in special factories where they're, you know, they pay way more attention to detail than like just any kind of just off the shelf racket. Yeah, so just, you know, helping him customize his sticks, and he had some, you know, shoulder issues, wrist issues. He's using a full bed of, you know, co-poly, and, you know, just over time when you're as a pro player, you're spending, you know, could be like 4 or 5 hours on court, you're hitting a lot of balls, right? So over time you're gonna feel it. Obviously when you're younger, your body's more resilient. But, you know, he's getting a little older, and just, yeah, I just started feeling it more in the shoulder, the wrist. So yeah, we just started, you know, experimenting with different co-poly hybrids. Okay. So on tour now, it's actually very common to use like different strings on the mains and cross. And, you know, Federer, for example, back in the day, he used like Gut and like Luxon Alley Power Rough. But a lot of players actually using two different co-polys now on the mains and cross, right?
Interesting.
Just typically, what we see is like You want to go with like a more durable, control oriented, maybe a shaped string on the mains, because the mains are what really going to like catch the ball when you're brushing up on it or slicing down on it. And then on the cross, you may want a little more ball pocketing, kind of like similar to gut, right? So a little more elastic, a little softer. Doesn't have to be as durable because it's really the mains are going to break, right? So yeah, I just kind of showed him a bunch of different copoly hybrids on the market that he could kind of mix and match. And he didn't really find anything he loved because he was just trying to like maintain this the spin potential, but also hit heavy, but also have good feel. So at some point I had this crazy idea. I was like, maybe we can just go to a string manufacturer and see if we can customize something for you, right? So we went to Taiwan, which is one of the largest string manufacturers in the world, produced for over a dozen brands. And he was the number one Taiwanese player at that time. So most manufacturers don't want to talk to a random kid that's like looking to start a brand from the ground up. But because he was the number one Taiwanese player at the time, they're a little more willing to work with
Open.
us. Just support him, support Taiwan, his country, right? So went out there, basically got a ton of prototypes, started mixing and matching a bunch of hybrids that I thought he might like. And then yeah, during the off season we came up with something that he loved. He took it on tour, had some pretty big wins, got to just outside top 100, but got wins over Opelka, Tiafoe, list goes on. But yeah, that's kind of how Toraline originated. This is like back I think in 2018 we filed our created our company. Started selling a couple of SKUs. Now it's just gotten out of control. I think we have like over 50 SKUs. I think over a dozen different colorways, which a lot of people like about Toraline. We offer a lot of different colors. Whereas like a lot of big brands, like they do one string and one color. What we'll do is like we'll take our best seller and we'll offer in like five or six different colors, like a neon orange, like a purple, a yellow. Why the list goes on. We're just like we get a lot of requests, and obviously we have to filter out what dyes kind of work with what strings, right? So it's not like as simple as like you just add some dye to a string and you just take it to market. It takes quite a bit of time. Like for example, Tennis Warehouse, they asked for a custom colorway for one of our best sellers, and it took like three runs to get it right just because it's like we added the dye, it was too soft. We added some more dye. It was like too stiff, and then we changed the additives and the formula mix, and then finally just got it just right. So, but yeah, it's been a fun process. Now we're in 2025. Just trying to work with pro players, get feedback. We have Stevie Johnson, who lives down the street from us in Los Angeles. That he's our chief string officer. So a lot of the R&D for new products. He'll help play test, give us feedback, go back to the lab, rerun production. We also lab test everything. So we test everything for, I think the most important thing is like stiffness, right? With copolys, they just tend to be really stiff, right? So, historically, just like as example, Tennis Warehouse University is basically an independent like source where they lab test everything. And they have like a list of like all the different like string stiffness, spin potential, durability, and all that good stuff. We do look closely at like just the stiffness in general, just because while we can generate more spin through stiffness, you want the players to be on court long as possible, right? So I think number one thing is making sure that string is not too stiff. And if you look at the stats on Tennis Warehouse University for our best seller Otoro, it tests 41% lower in stiffness than RPM Blast 125, but also 51% higher in spin potential. So you get
That's
like the best of both
impressive.
worlds, right? You get a soft string that's not hopefully won't cause any injuries, and then you also get access to maximum spin potential. So I think that's the stats like were actually recently posted like 2 or 3 weeks ago, and I think that's taking a lot of player or customers or potential customers that were on the fence about Toraline, kind of past the ropes and giving us a shot, which has been amazing for us, just to show that like objective data, because string is something you can measure versus like you go to a restaurant, it's highly subjective, right? If the food's good or
Yeah,
not.
that's
There is
true.
a feel element to string, but
Oh, absolutely.
yeah, but like, you know, like stiffness, I think that's like objectively, is it stiff or not, right?
Yeah.
Like it's not like these are all subjective data points. But yeah, so it's been great to piece kind of not just from like a you know, just having fun colors, right? But also having like objective data to support kind of the playability and performance of the
So
game.
let me ask you this. There's a lot to unpack here, and I have so many questions already. Did your
Yeah, go ahead.
hold on, did you freeze? You're not frozen anymore. Perfect.
Maybe for a split second, but hopefully, yeah, I'm back.
Okay. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you. Okay.
Okay, perfect. So I have a lot of questions, and we're gonna nerd out together. One thing you pointed out talking about the stiffness, one of the things that you put up, which I think is very easy to find for you guys compared to other brands, is you ranked your stiffness on your FAQs on your website, with Absolut being the softest and Auteur
Softest, yeah.
Tour being the stiffest. And I think that's something that people don't really look at, and especially when it compares to a bigger name, let's just say Babolat, RPM being probably the most popular poly, at least in my opinion, from a more casual perspective.
No, absolutely, yeah. Definitely top three.
Definitely top three. What's the most, like, because you have so many of them, what's the most common question you get when it comes to stiffness, or from someone that's learning about the difference in string in that regard?
Yeah, no, great question. So, to start, we have this program called Omakase by Torline. It's a collab with Jonas Eriksson from Tennis Nerd.
Shout
Who, yeah, sure,
out.
yeah, he's been great. We basically, yeah, have a 5-question survey where we ask different questions like, are you trying to maximize comfort, spin, control? And we also have like a open questionnaire where you can put what racket you have, because I think the racket plays a big role in kind of pairing what string should go with your racket, because there are a lot of rackets that are string sensitive. Not
Okay.
necessarily a bad string, it's just like, you know, some strings work well in one racket, but not necessarily in another racket. So we ask these questions like, you know, what's your current string, right? So if you're used to RPM blasts, we do have a string that's comparable in stiffness, not quite as stiff, just because I think that string just it's just kind of over the top for stiffness.
Okay.
But Auteur, for example, is a comparable to RPM Blast and 4G in terms of that, you know, stiffer bucket. And if you're looking for something a little softer, so like PolyTour Pro, which is, you know, a very popular string on the market, and Luxon Alu Power, we have Auteur, which is our best seller. So we do kind of categorize like there's like a medium bucket, there's a stiff bucket, and then there's like softer copolys, which are like Absolut, the one you mentioned. And we have one called like Wasabi X, which is super popular. But what's great about Tennis Warehouse is that they have Tennis Warehouse University where they rank all the strings by stiffness. So you can objectively see, you know, your current string, what the stiffness is compared to our, you know, we have three strings in the database right now. I think there's probably hundreds of strings in the database. So you can definitely nerd out there, but yeah, you can just rank it sort of from high to low and see where your string ranks. And you know, some people can handle a lot of stiffness, and that's great. Like I say, you know, if you feel like you're playing well with it, and it's not hurting your arm, you know, for sure, yeah, like just stick to it. Obviously, there's a lot of other considerations, like the price, for example, for a lot of brands have gone up quite a bit in the last month. The month of May was, I think, at least three or four brands increased their prices due to the tariffs.
Is that why your
But
tariff sale is tariff sale use code
yeah, we got a
T20
tariff
for
sale going on right now. Yeah,
20%?
T20 if you want to do that 20% off. But yeah, there's a lot of strings on the market that are now like, you know, 30, 40% higher priced than ours. So there's that, you know, factor as well. So I think we kind of found a good pocket in the market where we're affordable, and then we're also high performance, and we also have a lot of fun colors if that's your thing. We have a collab with Crucel. Shout out to Crew. He's got a really fun color shifting combo. So
I
the
saw
cool
that
thing
that
about if you do copoly hybrids is that you can put two different colors on the mains and cross, and depending on the angle of, you know, your swing, it can shift from like a pink and neon pink to like a neon yellow, which is super fun. I think that's kind of how our brand has grown organically. Just because if you go to your country club and you start swinging that K-pop combo, I mean, you can see
People
it
are
from
gonna
like a
be,
mile away, and they're
yeah,
like, a
people are
lot of
gonna
the members are
know.
like, what's going on with your string? Like, it's changing colors. And I think that opens the conversation to our brand and kind of what we offer. And we also have this thing called String Bar, which is on our website where you can build a custom blend, which is, it takes a lot of time and effort from our end to hand select everything. And you can actually get your name on it. So I got one for you, Phil, right here. Yeah, you got your custom
What?
blend. Yeah, so we try to make our customers feel extra special. I'll send this to you after
I couldn't
our
be more
game.
excited.
But yeah, it's cool because so omakase was kind of how this originated, this idea originated, where you like the last input is you put your name in the questionnaire, and then we put your name on the packaging. I think people in like tennis and golf really like that stuff, where they can like customize it. Like even a lot of pro players, like they don't have their own custom, blend. Like they don't have, XYZ on the packaging, like their name on it. They have their face, and a lot of times not even the string that they use. But as far as like having their own custom blend, it's like it's surprisingly non-existent. But we wanted to take that like carousel, like K-pop kind of like idea where like he has his own string combo and share it with the world. And I think one of my biggest like takeaways from like starting this company from the ground up is like you basically have to do what's like not scalable to scale. Because a lot of other brands, like they're just not gonna do this. Like this is so much work, and it's honestly very painful work. So but no one else is gonna do it. So if we do it, I think it gives us a little differentiator in the market. It shows that we're trying to put like the biggest effort that we can to do our best to hand select something that's hopefully a good fit for you. And we don't like always like get it right the first time. But we have a lot of different combos. And we do try to get you something that works well. And hopefully if it's not, something that you love, like we try to come back to the drawing book and come up something else for you.
Well, I think that's what makes Toraline special, right? And doing something not of scale to scale. And the personalization, and that's something that I wrote in my notes too, is that I think with this personalized touch that you offer to not only the pro players that you have, like Karu and I think Sabrina at the
Sabrina,
French, where, yeah, she's using
she's actually a
Toraline.
good friend of mine.
She
Yeah,
played
we were
at
friends for
USC,
quite
right?
some time. Yeah, USC, also Los Angeles. I try to like, I mean, it's a little easier access to like have a pro like nearby. So when you're like, for example, for her during last off season, it's something she just wanted to explore. She saw like, we're good friends. She actually hadn't tried Toraline strings, but I basically just went to her practice like for literally 3 weeks straight. I literally showed up, grabbed a couple rackets, went to my stringer behind me, string up like I would do like four or five at a time. And then she went through like over a dozen like combinations. And then she finally settled on something that we didn't have readily available. So I had to go back to the factory, tell them to like rush production.
I love that.
And I'm like creating like a SKU that actually does really well for us. It's just like white Otoro. So like we just have a lot of loud colors, and a lot of customers have been asking for like more subtle colors, and I just feel like I was like I just I don't know I just feel like it's
Is
fun to
that not
like
your brand though? Like that's
but she's like
people.
she loved this white Otora, and I was like I gotta give her what she wants. And it's actually playability wise it's actually quite different than the green version. It's a little more crisp. And she strings super low. She's like 40 pounds in like a 16 19 Dunlop bracket that's like pretty thick bean. It's like a so I think it just paired really well with her low tension and her playing style. So that's when you work with the pros, it's like a lot of times like you end up creating something that's like that's magic, it's just it's part of the process, and that's what I enjoy. And I actually used her racket for a few weeks leading up to her off season just to like start experimenting with stuff, just kind of like narrow down, because you only have so many shots with pros like to get it right. Because if you're too late in the off season, they're not gonna have enough time to get used to the setup,
Or to
right?
test
So
anything
you
and
kind of
kind
have
of.
to like be like, okay, these are like, well, at least like a dozen where like you can do two or three sessions, like five sticks each, and then at the end of those three sessions, you have something that's like pretty dialed in for them. And then you got to go back if it's like a prototype that we don't have like off the shelf, then you have to go to production like ASAP.
So
And then
what, how much, I'm not going to ask you the cost because I feel like that's rude, but when you rush the cost like that, how much more effort does that take to kind of rush production, especially for a brand that doesn't maybe have the same, let's just say, free, let's call it free money to spend on rushing a process like that?
Yeah, it does cost. I mean, honestly, it's not like necessarily like the cost, for example. It's like, can the fact does the factory have enough? Will they open up like the line for you to do that, right?
Gotcha.
And I think
So it's the back
if
end,
I
not.
asked for that like 3 years ago, I think they'd be like, maybe next year. But now that we actually do a lot of volume, I think we're like higher on the priority list of creating something new. So it's like no problem now, but obviously there's a bit of a balance. You can't ask for like too much because we have to stop production for other SKUs, which are like selling through as well, right?
Okay.
So it's a bit of like, okay, if you're gonna like stop production for everything else to do something that's super custom, that could impact your kind of overall operations.
Yeah, and within that too, talking about the manufacturing part of it with the colors that you have for the string, and you do have a plethora of bright colors and so many different versions of them. And you talked about it at the beginning too, how much color dye does affect string and how it plays. How much of an impact does that make for a string when you're creating it for a specific purpose? Because that to me, when you say, oh, dyeing it one color versus another color really makes it perform very differently. How does that, for me at least, how would you explain that to someone that doesn't understand, especially me, when color affects a string? Because that to me, it's like it's a cosmetic. It shouldn't affect it at all. But in
No,
reality,
I get that
it's
question a ton. And
okay.
so I'd say typically how I look at it is neon colors
Okay.
play a little softer, a little more elastic.
Okay.
Darker colors, like maybe like a black or like a gunmetal gray, tend to play like a little firmer, right?
Okay.
So if you're just thinking about like just how soft or elastic it is, I think that kind of impacts it. I think what makes Otoro like super special is like the base material is like this white kind of enamel kind of color, right?
Okay.
So that has no dye in it. So
Wow.
that, but then that actually plays crisper because there's this like I think more material and less dye, right?
Gotcha.
So that's kind of like the three ways of how I look at it.
Okay.
And even within the color bucket, like I mentioned, the Tennis Warehouse colorway, like it took three runs to get it right. Orange just came out like super soft with the base formula. So you just have to like rerun it, adjust the additives, adjust the materials, and sometimes even the heat. Like it's
Yeah.
kind of crazy, but like string is like there's so many similarities to like cooking. Like it
Interesting.
just yeah, that's why like I think it's like pretty fun that we came up with like a ton of like food names for our string because all it is like taking like PET chips and some additives and then heating it up, right?
Yeah.
And if you heat it like the wrong temperature, it actually can ru ruin the characteristics of the string, right?
Okay.
So you got it, and every like PET chip like kind of has its own kind of characteristics and behavior, and need to get heated under certain like temperatures. So it's I thought it was actually kind of like interesting how like everything kind of pieced together when I like because we came up with caviar initially, and it kind of like tied into like the Torlein theme because like Toro is
Yeah.
like the best cut of the fish, right?
Yeah.
It's the belly of the tuna, so like our whole mindset is like the best or nothing. And then, stuck to that kind of like food theme. But like I said, it's like very much so like cooking. Like for
Yeah.
example, like Otoro, it's made from an ultra high-end PET chip, right? So there's actually a lot of brands where the players are using like pro stock strings, right? Which are made from like ultra high-end materials that
Okay.
they just wouldn't take to market just because it's just not it wouldn't be cost effective for them to take it to scale, right? Like the string, I
Yeah.
mean they probably could sell at like $40 or something, but
But it's too much. It's not
it's
the
just
mass
yeah, they just
production worth it because
exactly.
not
So there's
everyone's
a
going to
lot
be
of big
using
brands
that.
that have these like pro stock strings, and I wanted to take that kind of the concept to market, right? Because as a tennis nerd, I was like, I always wanted these pro stock strings, but I mean you could get them on like the black market. But it's not like you never know if you get like a real tour of it. Like, can you get it maybe like a year, like 6 months from now, right? So
Yeah.
But yeah, we kind of think about it like, I don't know if you ever had like Wagyu steak.
Yes, it's
It's just like
fantastic.
it's basically like Otoro is like our like A5 cut. It's like an
Okay.
ultra high grade material that has like these super unique characteristics that basically help it get the spin potential score that it did on Tennis World House University while maintaining a really comfortable flex.
Yeah.
So that's just our mentality. Like we don't sell any like low grade strings. Like we don't have any entry level strings. Like we don't do like synthetic guts or I've tried like a ton of multi-filaments in my time at Torline, but we just never found something that we love. So if
Fair
it's
enough.
yeah, if it's like, could I have sold like a multi-filament like 2, 3 years ago? For sure. But it's just not something I would take on court. So I just wouldn't
Gotcha.
want to sell something to a customer that I truly don't believe in or want to use.
So when you test out all these strings and when you're being precise with how you created and how the process has begun, what's the biggest difference between the lab testing and on-court testing? Because what do you do in the lab that's different than what you would do on court? On court, you're obviously in the elements, you have different parameters. Lab, is it just how it truly plays because it's indoors, or how does that process work?
Yeah, so in terms of like the processes, I take it on court first, right?
Okay.
Because I just don't want to waste any like costs on doing lab tests because it's not cheap, right?
Yeah.
And they run a ton of like instrumental tests, and it requires this guy with I don't know if he has a PhD, but he's a very smart guy that takes his time with it, right? So and he can only do so many tests at a given time or
Yeah.
given period. So we take it on court first. What we're looking for is obviously like does it hit heavy? Like I'll ask like my hitting partner is like can you feel a difference between like this setup versus the setup, like how is like the accuracy? Like I'll put up cones and stuff and like
Yeah.
try to hit targets. I look for like kind of like the launch angle. Is it like too low? Is it too high? Like depth control. Like I'll put targets like kind of closer to the net or further back towards the baseline. Can I like control that distance from like the shorter part of the court versus the deeper part of the court? And then just like the sound of it. Sometimes like the sound it can just like feel way off.
Okay.
And while you feel like you're hitting like heavy spin, but like the sound's just like not there. Or if it's just different, then I just make note of that. And then obviously the stiffness I think is like I can feel it, but I obviously want to see on in the lab like how stiff it actually is, right? So because they actually measure static stiffness, right? So they basically look at the stiffness when it's like not being impacted, and then they look at the actual stiffness while it's like so they call it dynamic stiffness when it's getting impacted. So those are two different like factors that I do look at heavily because you can feel in your hand, you can kind of like just bend it and see like how stiff it is, but like you can actually get lab results like actually on impact how stiff it is when it hardens. So yeah, those are the main things, and then I just look at like the different colors. Like I was playing around with this like mint colorway of Otoro. And it came out like crazy soft like when I first like ran the production and I was like can you just like turn it up like in terms of like stiffness and then that's how we actually created the tour version. I
Really?
went to a lab and like it scored like crazy high in like all the categories. Like it's one of the first strings that score for Racquetpedia, 100 for control, 100 for spin, 100 for like tension maintenance, and then what was the last one? I think stability was the last one. So
So
like
that
your
was
time.
made essentially by accident.
Yes, yeah. It was like I knew I wanted like something closer to like the original Otoro. And then I was like, give me like two different like stiffness for like increased stiffness for this colorway. Because I really wanted this like mint colorway because there was a couple like racket brands that were like dropping rackets that would complement that mint colorway really well. And then they came out with two, and then I was like, oh, this one feels really nice. I was like, definitely a little firmer, but I know a lot of players have been asking for a firmer Otoro, so I was like, okay, maybe this is like an Otoro tour. Like how like golf clubs you have like regular flex and you have
Yeah,
like a
the
stiff
shaft
flex.
stiffness of
Exactly, yeah. We wanted
regular
that
stiff,
like
extra stiff, not stiff, like I get that.
yeah, so we wanted that like same concept for Otoro just because it was such a popular model at the time. And then we were like, let's do a stiff version. And that's how I kind of
I
how we
love
came up with
that.
it. So
I love
and
that.
we actually and it's funny, like we actually ran a white version in the Tour Flex And honestly, it's actually not like in like there's other strings on the market, I'll say, that are stiffer than it. But for me, it was actually like after we ran production, I'm talking like I ran like 10,000 sets. It's like this is not cheap. I literally like my warehouse, like there's like this corner, like there's like two pallets of string that just have been untouched because I took it to the lab and I hit with it and I was like, whoa, this came out like really stiff, like more than the mint tor flex. And I was like, I took it to the lab just to like double check, and yeah, it actually was like crazy stiff. And then I was like, oh, just like I just ran 10,000 sets, and like we were like, you shipping costs, you have like, I mean, the tariffs were not like crazy back then, but like, just like the
Now
shipping
it
costs.
is.
We basically just had to like eat because I'm not like, I don't want to hurt anyone's elbow, like, or wrist. Like, it's just like that string, like maybe you could use it in like a hybrid format where like you just use it as mains and go with like a soft cross, but I just shelved it for now. So, but if anyone wants a floor flex that's like crazy stiff and like will not break, like we do have that. It's just not for sale on our website. So,
So how many sets do you think you have that you haven't used or sold just from testing?
I mean, definitely like in the five figure range for sure. I mean, that one alone was like 10,000 sets. So,
Jeez.
yeah, that was like for sure the biggest like miss on my part.
Okay. In what way? Like just because of
Like
how
I
it
just
felt?
like was like, oh, like let's just stiffen it up like the other mint one, and then it just came out like a rock. Like,
It just came out like a
and I was like, oh
plank.
damn. I was like, all right, well, I guess it is what it is, but I can't sell this, like I wouldn't be comfortable selling it, is like kind of how I
That's
felt.
fair. Well,
Yeah.
and I think people should
Like,
appreciate that as a, like as a company, and for someone that's that has a string brand, your goal is not to make money, right? Well, there it is to make money, let's be honest. It's you're running a business, but the goal of the product is to not provide pain. Right. And you're trying to help everyone kind of like develop their game in a way where they don't have to go above and beyond just to help them with their tennis tech. So it's admirable, I would say, to kind of
yeah, you want
think
to keep
about
the
that.
players on court as like as long as possible, right? Like you want to keep them coming back. You don't want them to have a bad experience with Tour Line, and they're off court for like X months or whatever it may be, and then they'll never return as a customer. So it ultimately, at the end of the day, you got to do what's right for the customer, even if it's you're eating a ton of costs. But I think that's why people trust the brand because all these things that we do on the back end, like they know that like we're coming out with strings that not only provide a lot of spin, are fun colorways, but also are going to be comfortable too, right? Because yeah, can I create like a crazy, durable string? Like we don't try to optimize for durability. Like the one thing I tell people is if you want super, super durable string and you don't necessarily care about like spin potential, ball pocketing, other kind of like characteristics, I'm
Performance.
like, I can give you a ton of strings that are like crazy durable and will last longer than Tourline straight up. But like at the same time, those are going to be very stiff strings because stiffness does translate to durability at the end of the day. Like I can give you there's like Kevlar string, like bulletproof
Oh
like
yeah.
material. Like there's a lot of string out there that's very
I've
durable.
seen that. It's and that string is probably that probably could hold like a 100-pound dumbbell if it really
It
tried.
should be illegal though. That like
It
that stuff is like, I mean, that's going to cause like a lot of issues for
always.
players in rackets, and modern like rackets are like pretty stiff nowadays. So it's
It's not a good combo.
yeah. So like we're not like what I tell people are like if they're looking for durability and like that's the only thing they care about, like I just don't think we're the brand for you, to be honest.
That's fair. And you have to realize your target market, and you have to realize like that's a part of the business side, right? You have to realize where you're gonna be able to get more people to buy your product, or you're gonna have to kind of stay away from a certain one. So that's, and I think that's once you realize that, you're gonna have success, which you are. And when you talk about testing all these products yourself, are you the only one that's testing them first and kind of going off your own feel, or do you have other core people besides yourself and let's say Steve?
Yeah, we actually have a group. I actually have a really good group of like close friends. We actually do a live ball. There's 3 days a week that we have it available. I usually try to do like 2 times a week. But yeah, they're all using Tourline. And so a lot of them do get like the first batch of like prototypes. And then obviously we do have like a lot of So pro players, it's a little tougher to test it during the actual season, right? Because
Yeah.
like they're not gonna like try to experiment unless
They're
there was one
traveling.
pro player. I can't go into the details, but like he did test it. Like he had a bad result in Canada, and then he went to Cincy, and then he actually took out like a top 50 player with our string.
Love that.
Like because he just like was like not happy with his combo. And then can't go into all the details behind that,
That's
but
fair.
like it's just like we do have like a group of play testers that are close by in LA, so I can get feedback in real time. And then we also do take it to like other influencers like Jonas Eriksson from Tennis Nerd. I get his feedback quite a bit actually. And we do try to test it in like all the different rackets. So
Okay.
one thing for me is I can basically I have like unlimited funds to buy like every brand new racket release on the market. It's kind of dangerous. My wife hates it. Like there's so many rackets in her house that I need to
If
like
you're looking to
make
get rid of
sure.
one, please let me know.
Dude,
I'll buy it
I
for
got
you.
you. What do you use right now?
Right now I'm using I have the Yonex V Core
Oh, nice.
97, but it was the model right before they renamed it the Precept.
Okay, wait, the okay, I have
Hold on, let me see.
let's see what I got for you. Hold up, I got something for you. I think you might like it.
I like how we're both just going for rackets.
All right, this is your new racket. I got you the Tommy Paul. Check this
The
out.
Tommy
This
Paul.
is
This is what
yours.
I'm using right now.
Okay, this
So
will
this is.
be, I think I like this one.
I do. Is that the E Zone or is that the
It's
V
a V
Core?
Core 98. It's the one
Oh,
Tommy Paul
yeah.
uses.
I love that.
This is yours. I'll put
What?
this
Really?
with their string. I got you, bro. It's
You
yours.
sure?
I'm like, dude, I need to get rid of rackets. My wife's gonna kill me.
I'm gonna get this in the mail. My girlfriend's gonna be like, "Why did you buy this?" I was like, "I didn't.
Yeah.
I promise you, I didn't." That's
That's
really
yours. I got you.
that's really kind of you. I really do appreciate that. I'll put the strings in it too, so that way it'll be the Tourline racket, and I'll just
Awesome. No, I got you. I'm measuring it up for you too. I got you.
Oh,
What's your
sure.
tension? Yeah, what's your tension?
Right now with the because I'm using Politour Pro, I'm at I don't know. I haven't strung this, and I've been hitting with this, so it's probably too low, but I would usually it's between 50. It's around 50 right now.
Okay, 50. Okay, that's good
Yeah.
tension.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It's nice to know
Yeah,
someone appreciates my attention, and it's not quite.
well.
It's nice to hear an
Yeah, I wanted
expert
to throw it
say
up, like
like
without any like, I know it could be too stiff, could be I want to make sure it's just right for you, so.
Well, it's funny that I've had one. I've strung. I used to work at a country club. And someone used to get their racket restrung at like 60 to 62 in full poly.
That's crazy. Well, actually Karu does that, or he used to do that. He's down quite a bit, but I'm
But
like I get nervous when I string out like, high like in this
60
range. I'm
though.
like, if this thing pops on me, like I might lose an eye.
That's so true. I completely forgot about that. Like just
I would
the
not recommend a string above 60 for. I mean, if it was a poly, I don't know. If it's gut or something, maybe that could be okay. But gut it like for a
gut's
poly at
terrible to
60 is
string on.
crazy.
Gut to string is probably the most frustrating aspect of tennis customization, at least in my opinion. Anytime I had to string with VS Touch, I was like pre-stretch, and then if it just goes one wrong way, I'm like
Yeah, if it
I'm
kinks,
done.
you're like, oh, you're just
Oh.
like it's the worst.
You
It's
talk
like
up.
pretty
Go ahead.
expensive now too. They raised the price on it. I think
Of course they did.
it's like $60 or something. Yeah, so
That's terrible.
the lifestyle. Gut's a
It's
lifestyle.
guts
So
a lifestyle. I will say that. If you can afford it, go for it. If you can't, don't. That's just how I see it. What was the so when did you I want to talk about your customization is a little bit more because it was interesting when you said you tried as a college tennis player, did you change your racket and string a lot when you were in college or was
yeah,
it
too much.
after?
Like honestly, I just like I use like everything under the sun.
So what did you start with and what do you think you ended with your college career?
Yeah, so I started with the Federer RF90.
Proud of you. That's what a choice.
Like it's
Love
one of my
that.
favorite rackets of all time, but like it's so
Love
hard to play.
that.
Like
Oh
it's
yeah.
like yeah, but like if you hit clean, it's like a knife through like butter. It's just
Yeah.
it's actually not the swing is actually not crazy because it's all like weighted in the handle, right? Like a lot of the weights in the handle, like a leather grip. So I started with that, and then at some point I had a friend at like UCLA that had this like head sponsorship. So he had like these pro stock like head rackets, and I bought like four of them off of him.
Which
And
one?
then it's like a TGK 238.1. It's like a micro gel paint job, but it's like this like high quality graphite prestige. So it was like a 98 square inch. So I'm a little more playable, but it was like 1820. So in some ways not as playable. But I like that one, and then I really like the liquid metal prestige,
That's a good
which
one.
was
I like that
also
one of
1820. And they had like they called it a 98, but it was like if you actually looked at the way that they measure it against other brands, it's like more like a 95 square inch. So not super playable.
That's
But
a
yeah,
choice.
those
That's a
are my like
choice.
couple of rackets. I couldn't change too much because the coach actually was like, you literally just like, I'm not gonna buy you any rackets if you just keep changing. And a lot of rackets I was buying, like he wouldn't even buy them because they're like pro stocks, right? Like he's like, would I give you like $800 cash to give to this other UCLA kid? Like, I don't even know how he would do that.
That
Yeah.
work?
So like I just went out of
The exchange of
pocket.
funds, it's like, I will give you the money I would spend
Yeah,
on rackets to go buy.
the school's gonna be like, what's this $800 cash for?
Funds.
Yeah,
It's
funds.
an
Yeah.
expense. It's
So
an expense.
yeah. So I kind of just went out of my own pocket. But I just like I this is why I love doing, I just like love experimenting with rackets and strings, and I don't even know how much money I spent on tennis bras in my life. It's probably like I
I
kind of
don't
want to
want to
look at
know.
it. It's probably like I
I
could have bought
personally
one like
wouldn't.
a
I wouldn't want to know. Like I've thought about it too, at least going back to like my junior days and my parents, and they helped me out very kindly and graciously of them. And I really don't want to ask how much they spent on me.
I was bad. I was bad. I was
It's like
bad.
if you calculate it, I don't think you want to know, and I don't think your wife wants to know.
No,
No.
I would feel bad, but it's what I love. So now it's like I can do it on like a another level. Like I just don't even think about it. I just like I have like a couple of shops in LA that just like give me like pretty good hookups, and I literally tell them, I was like, any new racket release, just send it. Just bill me.
Just bill
I don't even
me.
ask. Like, you know my grip size? I'm like, I don't even care. Like, just send me the racket. And then like I show up to my house sometimes and it's just like three new rackets. I'm like, I don't even know what it is. It's
I
like
have, you know what? That has to be the biggest flex anyone can have as a tennis nerd.
a
It's like, just put it on my tab. Just send it to
I was like,
me.
don't
I
even
don't
ask,
care
just
what
send
it
it.
is. I don't
I
even
was
care
like,
what
because
it
like
is.
usually like these shops, like they don't have a lot of capital to like buy, like they need to know who's buying what, right? Because
Yeah,
they can't get
exactly.
just stock
They
like
need to know
every
their
racket, every grip
clientele.
size. So I just tell them, like, when you put in your first order, just make sure 1/4 whatever. Like I don't want like the crazy rackets. Like I don't want like I want the players' rackets. I want like the 98, the 100 square inch. Like I don't want like a 110 square inch racket, but like I was like, anything that's like relatively like a player's racket that's pretty popular, just send it. Don't even ask. Just order it, send it, and I'll spill me.
That's
It's fine.
incredible. That's incredible. I love
But
that.
we actually do need to know that data. Like when we make recommendations to customers, if they tell me, hey, I use a VCore 98, number like the newest version, what string do you would recommend? I currently use a string at this tension. I kind of need to like have like some sort of data point to work with to like make a good recommendation, because they're like a lot of rackets that are like string sensitive. Like just some strings are, just don't work well in it.
What racket do you think that you've tested your string with is the most sensitive to, what's most sensitive to the string to test out or to use? What do you think that has been?
I've tested like quite a bit. I don't know if it's like per se like the most string sensitive, but it's actually in my mind actually pretty string sensitive is the Pure Aero 98. So there's like if you look at the college players, for example, even a lot of pro players are like basically breaking their contracts to use this racket. But
So it's a pass
yeah,
for one.
like I think like five out of like the six UCLA like starting singles players use this racket. But like that racket actually, like I've tried like I think like 15 or 16 different like setups in it.
Really?
Because like the launch is actually like in my mind it's actually lower than what I would think a Babolat would have. And not necessarily a bad thing to have like a low launch, but I think it's just like that 1620 little tighter string pattern than the Rafa Pure Aero. creates that lower lawn. So you do need to play around with like the different hybrids to kind of get that if you want like a higher launch to get it back to a certain height over the net, then there's a couple like strings I would recommend for that one. But that one's a fun racket to play with. I think it's one of like the first like retail rackets that like a lot of pros are like using like straight up. Like I think Alcaraz is like pretty stock with it. I think he has like a little bit of weight in the throat, like a couple of strips, but relatively like I don't think it's like crazy customized versus like these others like stock like pro stock rackets are heavily customized.
I was watching Svitolina's match yesterday, and that diadem racket, she's got a lot of lead tape on the head right now. And even with Casper too, with his E-zone, like I see just the amount of weight that he puts on the head itself is crazy.
Yeah, I think he uses like a extended link too.
Does he really? A lot of guys are using that now, right?
Yeah.
Well, the extended's like
Yeah.
I've
Yeah.
heard
No,
that it's
there's. I mean,
like,
there's a good amount of players that use extended,
what is it,
but
28 now? Like that's the version of
so like the
extended?
standard is like 27.5, but there are some players that use 28, which is I don't know how you wield that. That's like the swing weight. When you increase the length, it increases the swing weight quite a bit, just making it less easy to maneuver. But I actually used it. I used a 27.5 at one point in my career. It was the Annie Roddick Pure Drive.
Oh, great racket. Great
Yeah,
racket.
plus. Yeah, that one was like I only used it because he used it.
That's great. I love that.
I
That's
even
why.
did like the Roddick like service like
Oh, you did
motion
the small, just
abbreviated. Yeah.
the trophy
I
position.
use it in like Kalamazoo. I have like this one video where
Oh, I need to see it. Eric, I need to see
yeah, I
it.
don't it's on like dude, it's on this like the is it like a VHS? I forgot what they call it. Like the is that? Yeah, it's like I couldn't find it, dude. I don't have it on like a digital. It's like literally in this like somewhere at my parents' house.
Some VHS type
Yeah, VHS
of.
like tape. It's crazy.
Sorry, hold on. My
I zoned one
videos.
match doing that and then got destroyed the next match, but it was fun.
Give me one second. I don't know why this is not working. There
Oh
we
yeah,
go.
no worries.
Oh, yeah, that's what happens when my camera overheats. That means we're having a good time and it's a long conversation. I love that. I know. This has been a lot of fun, Eric. I just want to ask you a couple more questions. I really do appreciate you doing this
Yeah,
as
no problem, for
well.
sure.
If you were to start the business over and you were going to talk to your younger self again, what's the one piece of advice you would have given him going into starting this business?
Oh man, honestly, it would be really hard to replicate. I think what we've done, and I think it's like a lot of it is timing. But tell my younger self, I think, like I said, you just got to do what's not scalable to scale. And I think a lot of times we're like, "What you do? What you put everyone's name on the packaging? That sounds like crazy work." But honestly, like that's kind of the mentality that I've just been running with for the last like 2 years. And prior to that, I was working full time in finance. So like when I graduated UCSB, I went straight to public accounting, worked at Deloitte, but basically worked at a ton of like tech startups doing just finance. And I was doing that concurrently with Toraline for at least from 2018 to like 2023, where I, and then like at some point I was like, we actually started getting a little traction. And then I just took that leap of faith where I was like, I think I got to do this either full time or it's just not going to grow into what I wanted to, hopefully one day. So I just like cold turkey, just like quit finance. And then, yeah, just like did a ton of like just redeveloping small things, like even like the website, the packaging. Honestly, I spend probably like 30% of my time on packaging. It's crazy. And like I probably spend 30% on packaging. And like, probably quite a bit of time on like just R&D. And then literally I spent so much time doing accounting. Like I got away from accounting, but like I literally just doing like inventory reconciliation like nonstop. It's like insane. Cause when you have like
You just went
margins,
back to it, just doing it for your own
yeah, like I
business.
thought I got away from finance and accounting, but honestly, like the only thing I like I a lot of my time is just like spent doing inventory. Like I do have so many SKUs that like it's hard to like keep track of what's in stock or what's running low, and you have to like follow like what's trending. Because like this like YouTuber, for example, he did this review on like the top or like over 100 Kopali strings that he's used in his life, right? And then he put O Tour in like the top bucket, and then he like did this ranking for the top bucket, and he put it like number one overall. And
Wow.
then like, our sales just like ripped. And then I was like, I got super nervous because I was like, it was a new SKU for us, right? So usually
Yeah.
when we do like the first batch, we don't go like too crazy with it, just because we want to see like, do peel pairs like it? Is it we
Yeah.
don't want to like over order per se, right? Just because we
Yeah.
have like 40 other SKUs that we need to stock.
Yeah.
And then I had to like I saw it start. I didn't even know he posted the video. Like it just
Oh, wow.
I started seeing sales rip for this one SKU, and I was like, what's going on? I literally had to go to YouTube, search Toraline, like do some research. But the video popped up like relatively fast. And
Love
it's like
that.
this 1 hour video of like him just like talking, going through like 100 strings. It's like
That's
crazy.
incredible.
You should watch it. It's
Is it,
Ten Com. Yeah, his
yeah,
name is
I
Beckett.
know him. He's Beckett, right? Yeah,
Yeah.
Beckett's a
You
nice
should
guy.
get him on the pod, but yeah, he's a super interesting guy. But yeah, he did this this like review of like over 100 Kopalis, and then yeah, the string just ripped. And then I literally had to go like, to our factory and was like, I need more string.
I need a
We need
lot
like two
more.
pallets of the string like ASAP, because it does take time to get it like shipped
Yeah.
by sea. Like you can airship stuff, but like that's just like really expensive, right? It's not
Yeah.
like cost effective to do that. So
Yeah, I
I
think I
literally came down to like one small box of string, and then the trucking company showed up with our pallets, and I was like, thank God. I barely made it. I literally there was like I was counting it. I was like, there was like 40 sets left. It was crazy. I was sweating, and like I have this like thing where like I do not want to run out of stock. So if you look on
Yeah.
our site right now, nothing
Yeah.
is out of stock. And like a
Yes.
lot of competitors, you'll see like they'll be out of stock for string or even rackets for like
A while.
it could be a week or like it could be a couple of weeks. Sometimes the rackets are out of stock for like 2 months. You're like, how's that like
I don't,
okay?
I've seen that, personally, I've seen that side of it too, working at a country club and l seeing inventory and seeing like some companies will have stuff right away or others will just be backlogged. And it just makes me think, like, how can you successfully run a business if you're backlogged and you promise to take care of customers when in reality you're just like,
And
you're.
my thing is like I know customers rely on our strings for like tournaments, practice, so we can't be out of stock, right? Like I think it's a
Yeah.
really bad look if you're out of stock and people are like, they're like, I have a tournament next week, like where can I buy this string, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's not a great look. So that's why like literally I spent so much time counting inventory that's out, because when we do this like omakase string bar thing, it's just like there's like the way that it's set up, it's like the SKUs, like people are like we're like hand selecting like two different sets. It's just a lot of moving pieces to like track. So yeah.
Yeah, that's crazy. And Eric, I can't thank you enough for coming on and doing this with us. It's a lot of fun hearing your passion and talking about how well you guys are doing and where your story comes from. So I really do appreciate your time coming on.
Yeah, no, thanks for letting me. Yeah, I'll get to string your setup.
I'm
So,
I when you showed me that, I got so excited. I kid you not. It was like I felt like a kid at Christmas. I was like, "Oh my God, it's happening. My name is on a
hopefully
package."
you like it. If not, we'll work on something else for you. We'll get you
Yeah,
another setup. But
definitely.
yeah,
Definitely.
shoot me your address, and I'll take care of you.
Will do. Guys, if you want to check out Toraline for yourselves, make sure to check out the link in the description. Make sure you are following them on all social media. And Eric, thank you again. I really do appreciate
Thanks, Phil. Appreciate you, man. All right, take care.
it. You too.